God bless you, girls. Thank you very much. It's been a real honour being here, and it's been really special because the things that I know is that you can never outgive or outserve God. Over the years, I've had the privilege of being a nanny to a little Aussie baby, and she lives in Sydney, and I'm going over in a couple of weeks, and we're actually going to meet on the Gold Coast. She and Abby, Nikki and Abby are going to come up. Nikki was a young woman when I lived in Australia that I picked up off the street, who was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and I just loved this girl and was attached to her immediately. And she comes from a very well-to-do family, but her parents just didn't know how to love her like she needed. They gave her money, they gave her everything she wanted, but that wasn't what she needed. She needed loving, she needed caring, she needed heart, she needed boundaries, she needed clear goals, she needed somebody that would say no to her, and yet she would be able to respond to, because she had enough respect to respond. And it's been an amazing journey, really. And so now I have this beautiful son-in-law and daughter and granddaughter in Sydney, and I thank God for my family. And Abby and I Skype each other every week, and Nikki rings me and I say to her, get the drawing things out, get some music ready, and I'll get my guitar, and we dance and we sing and we draw, and we had great fun on the Skype for an hour every week. And you know, that's what I'm saying, that's what I want to say, that God, look, I don't have any children of my own. I had a son, but I don't have. But you know, God has given to me. Nikki's always called me mum. And so there's something really special in my spirit. And I thank God that God provides all of those needs. There was never a time that I didn't believe that God was going to provide a husband for me. And although over the years I had been really saddened in my heart, brokenhearted about different experiences of my life that I talked about yesterday, I had known the blessing of God. I had the privilege of working for an organisation called International Outreach. I don't know if any of you know Mary and Stuart Bremens, but Stewie is an Aussie and he lives in Queensland, and he is such a wonderful man of God. And I worked with the organisation for probably 10 or 12 years off and on, and travelled through Asia, and was based in India, and spent quite a bit of time in Australia as well. And because of that, had the privilege of travelling to many other countries as well, including the Philippines, Russia, speaking in the States, just lots of different places. And it's been a real honour to be able to do that. So as a single woman, I was fulfilled in my life. I thank God. And you know what? One of the things that I learned was that if you sit and wallow in your self-pity, that wallowing in your self-pity only brings you sadness of heart. You know, I love that scripture where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred. It's so true. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But if you have a look at the real meaning of what hope really is, hope, the godly meaning of hope, is confident expectation. Woohoo! Confident expectation. And it's something that you can have on the inside that nobody else sees. But it's a knower in your knower, as it were. And it is something that just sits there. And as you begin to do and be who God wants you to be, that knowing just peacefully sits there. And that causes you to be able to walk in faith. And I thank God about that. And you'll never know that unless you know who you are. You'll never understand what that really is until there's a contentment in your heart about who you are. There's a contentment in your heart. And that contentment in your heart sometimes just means surrender. In fact, I have found that there are two keys to freedom. Number one, surrender. And number two, timing. Number one, surrender is up to us. Number two, timing is up to God. That is such a key. If you want to stay free in your life, you number one, surrender to God, and then you wait for God's timing. And you know what? God's timing isn't always our timing. So I really just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for your testimony. That was fabulous. It was really fabulous because we all need to be encouraged about where we're at. And not all of you will relate to where I've been at, but most of you will relate to where my sister's been at. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I really want to encourage you. But today, I want to speak on boldness. As a little girl, wasn't a particularly bold person. It wasn't until I came to know the Lord, until I came to know who I was, that the boldness of the Holy Spirit was able to just work in and through my life. And I remember saying to God, and I remember hearing Stewie preach one day, and it blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. And because I always used to say, oh, but God, I've only got a little bit of the Holy Spirit. And I remember saying that to God. You know, well, how come these other people, they're so bold and they're so brave and they've got the Holy Spirit in them and they do and they're obedient and all of these things. But really, I'm just blooming a scaredy cat. And I remember saying that. And, you know, about a week later, I heard Stewie say, it blew me away, he said, okay, so you've only got a little bit of the Holy Spirit and you're wallowing in your self-pity. Well, what bit did you get? The hand, the leg, the foot, the eye, the ear. What bit did you get? Your problem is you didn't understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead of Jesus Christ, of God. It's part of the three part of who God is: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you don't get a bit; you get a person.
Amen.
The person of the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. The person of the Holy Spirit gives you the boldness you need, gives you the courage you need, gives you the strength that you need, gives you the power to operate the way that God wants you to operate. And I thought, oh, wow, I am so glad that I got to hear that. Because often I used to say, I just so want to be like somebody, you know, like, and I'd hear somebody else's testimony, I'd think, oh, wow, did you hear Gary's testimony last night? Oh, my gosh. And he's such a funny person too, isn't he? He actually reminds me of Stewie a lot. And he's just got such a lovely heart and I just so love that. And I heard his testimony, you know, and I heard some of the things, and I thought, wow, Lord, I'd like to be like that, but I can't be, because you know what? I am who I am. But you know what, girls? We girls are the worst at it. We compare ourselves with each other all the time. I want to read you a scripture. Look, I haven't even started what I'm going to preach on today. But I want to read you a scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. No, Ephesians chapter 2. I've got my Bible today, praise the Lord. I can't believe that I left it behind yesterday. Don't you hate it when you haven't got your own Bible? This Bible is actually very, very special to me. This was my dad's Bible. My dad passed away a couple of years ago. And I just loved it because it's got giant print. Oh, yes. And I thought, yes! And also, too, my sister was actually going to inherit it. And anyway, and I so wanted it. But I didn't say anything. I said, no, that's fine, Denise, you have Dad's Bible. That's great. I've got Mum's. But my Mum's was an old one that is so tattered and so worn and so many curled pages and so many notes scrawled all the way through it, which I love because I read them. And but this one didn't get used quite so much, and it's a giant. And Din came to me a couple of days later and she said to me, Cecily, I just want you to know that I want you to have this Bible. And I said, no, Dad left it for you. And she said, no, Cess. She said, actually it makes me a bit teary. She said, if I use it, I will be blessed by it. But if you use it, everybody will be blessed by it. And I thought, wow, isn't that beautiful? What a gift. So I love this Bible so much. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. You know that workmanship in the Hebrew, that word translated into English is spelt poema, and translated into English so that we understand it, it means little masterpieces. Now let's read that scripture again. It says, for we are his workmanship, for we are his little masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that beautiful? Now, what we do is we compare ourselves with each other. But how many of you know that a masterpiece cannot be compared with another masterpiece? It is uniquely a masterpiece in its own right. Does that make you feel good? Wow. We are God's masterpieces unto good works, to serve him, to love him, and to make him known in this world, and to destroy the works of the enemy in this world. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do. And I really just wanted to share that scripture because I felt it was really important today that you ladies knew not just who you were, but you also needed to know that you were uniquely created as a masterpiece. And that you cannot compare yourself to another masterpiece, and another masterpiece cannot be compared to you. How special is that? Wow. And so when God really spoke to me about that, I thought, wow, Lord, thank you so much, because I am just so grateful for the fact that you have come to speak to me specifically today on who I am and what I have. And that's when God really spoke to me about the subject that we were speaking on yesterday of identity, of who we are. You know what? We sang words of a song today that just summed it up for me. It doesn't just mean who we are, but it says, I belong to Jesus. Man, does that do your heart good? I love that. That not only am I a daughter of the living God, Princess Cecily, but I belong to him. And he belongs to me. How beautiful is that? That is so beautiful. So I want to speak on encouragement now. I know I haven't got too much longer to go. Oh, yes, I have. I've got a bit of time. And I want to speak on encouragement. Firstly, I want to speak on encouragement because I want to encourage you. And secondly, I want to speak on encouragement because I want to encourage me. Because you know what? We need to encourage each other in the Lord. We need to encourage each other. And even as I begin to speak on the subject of boldness, I can sort of sense some of you saying, oh, yes, but Cecily, you know, that's for the person sitting beside me. You don't understand. You don't know what I'm like. I'm not very bold at all. And that might be so. But, and you know, like boldness in me, I don't think so. But I recognise that most of us feel very inadequate in the area of boldness, actually. Most of us do. Most of us feel very inadequate because we think that what we're doing for God is not enough. Listen to me, girls. What we're doing for God is not enough. Who I am is not enough. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is the devil telling you lies. And you know what? I listened to those lies for many years. I was told I'd never be able to study. I'd never be able to write my name or read or write because of dyslexia that I had as a child. But I've just got a diploma in counselling. And that was hard work. But guess what? I passed. Hallelujah. I couldn't have done it without my husband and many other amazing friends that helped me. I had a friend that came in every week and vacuumed my floors for me. Wow. Can you imagine? I was so busy traveling and preaching, studying, doing my assignments, looking after my husband, you know, all of these things that I was doing. And the thing that blessed me, one of the most amazing things, was that somebody came and did my vacuum cleaning every week. Wow. I just was so blessed. And this lady was a solo mum, and I would just give her a parcel of meat for her family. Just give her a parcel of meat. No money went between us. And I'd just buy a nice parcel of meat for her family. And she's a solo mum with three children. So I really thank God that he was able to bless me and I was able to bless her. Yes? And so that's what this is all about. But recognising that I couldn't do this on my own. I am not an island. You know, when you've been as single as long as I had been for 49 years, you become quite independent. And you do everything for yourself. And even now, Peter says to me, Cecily, let me do that for you. And I think, oh, yeah, that's right. And I say to him, oh, thank you, honey. I'm so grateful. I really am grateful. But I'm so used to just bolstering up and doing it myself. Do you know what I mean? But, oh, it is so lovely to have somebody to carry your bags to the car and you know, just do some of those things. Take the rubbish out every week and just things like that. But what I want to say to you is that for you, What you are doing is enough for God. Who you are is enough. You can never do another thing for God that will make him love you more than he does right now. Because often I loved what you said about that busyness and about how we get around. You see, the world has tricked us into thinking that a busy life is a successful life. That's a lie. Yes, life can be busy and it's fantastic, but if you don't have time for the important things, if you don't have time for a relationship with Jesus every day, just sitting in his presence and enjoying his presence. At night time is my time. My husband is a fairly early to bed sort of a guy. And I'm so not. I'm a party all night girl. And I used to say to him, "Darling, you're so boring." And he'd say, and I said, "But I'd never do without you." But you know, like, and then and he'd say, "Oh, come on, Tani, come to bed." And I said, "But I've learned to go to bed with him at 9:30. I go there." And I wait till I hear the and I wait till it's that really deep and then I crawl out and I go and do all the other things I have to do because I'm alive and well at that time of the night. Do you understand? And you know what? Because I went to bed with him, and that's made him feel loved, because I took that time to make him feel loved, that actually made my life so easy. And we need to understand that oftentimes we're so busy trying to fill our lives with stuff, we just need to do the important things first. What does that scripture say? I love it. And all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah. And all these things shall be added unto you. So I really want you to know, girls, that it's not what we do. It's not our doing that makes us. It's the enemy that makes us feel like we're not doing enough. He lies to us, sits on our shoulder, whispering lies. But do you know what? We only have to do what God asks us to do. I love the way Jesus used to say, "I only do what my Father in heaven asks me to do, tells me to do." And you know what? If you're not in communication with your Father in heaven, how on earth are you going to know what it is he wants you to do? Yeah? So that's why I say to you girls, so I get out in the middle of the night, I get my guitar out and I just sit and I just sing and enjoy the presence of God and just bathe and then I read my word and I just have my worship and praise and prayer time and just spend time in the presence of God, and it's so beautiful. And I get back into bed, and Peter said, "I heard that. I was too tired to come." I said, "It's okay, darling. I had a good time anyway." And so in the midst of that, you know, I think that that's what we have to know, that God loves us just like we are. But he loves us too much to let us stay like that too. Because he does want us to change. He does want us to come into his glory every day, to be changed by the glory of his presence every day. Now, I'd be lying if I told you that I did that every day. So I'm not trying to pretend to tell you that I'm Superwoman and that I get everything right all the time. Because I know I'm not. But you know what? I really miss the presence of God when I'm not there. And I can tell when my spirit starts getting sharp. When my mouth starts getting sharp, when my tongue starts getting sharp, I haven't spent enough time just allowing God to sweeten my heart, to sweeten up what's on the inside. I want you to know, girls, that God loves you. He loves you just like you are. And he wants you to know that he's got amazing purpose for every single one of you. Those of you that are mothers, I thank God for my mother. I thank God for her. She prayed for me. I remember when she died. I remember the thing that I cried the hardest and longest about was the fact that who would pray for me every day like my mother did. Mothers, you have the most wonderful gift. You have the most wonderful gift of prayer for your children. You have the most wonderful gift. And I want to say, my mum was very, very sick. And I would hear her get up in the night on the side of the bed. And for 2 or 3 hours, nearly every single night, she would spend time speaking in tongues and praying for her family, praying for her church, praying for missionaries on the mission field. She used to write letters, 20 a week, to people on the mission field. I was amazing. We used to have people coming through our home that would say, "Oh, and so Cecily, you're the one who was the shot putter." And I'd say, "Yes." And she'd say, I'd say, "How did you know that?" And they'd say, "Your mum told us all about it in her letters." And you know, isn't it interesting? Because you'd want to know, when you're away from everything, you want to know the real things that are going on here. And you think that that's not very important. But I used to love it when mum would say to me, "The tomatoes are ripe, Cess." You know, the tomatoes are ripe. And Dad's tomato was so big that one slice would cover a piece of bread, you know? And those sort of things were so important. They're really special. So you have no idea what gifts you have and how precious those gifts are. We just don't think they are. Now, in the whole area of boldness, there are two types of boldness. There's the worldly type boldness, which is the aya type, you know, that kind of stuff. Cut them up, burn them up, shoot them up type boldness, which most of us don't have. And others have it to a different degree than others, but some have it more than others. But and as I've got older, I realise that I've got bolder and bolder. And it's been very exciting to watch because once, I wouldn't say boo to a mouse. But now, I have an opinion, my voice is heard, and I really like it. I like being heard because as a child I clammed up because I never felt like I was being heard. See what you see? And that's the reason why I was like a mouse, because I never thought that what I had to say was important. But God began to heal all that part of me, and he began to teach me to do something new, to live life another way. And as I began to do that, so there's that kind of boldness, but then there's holy boldness. Holy boldness is a different kind of boldness. Holy boldness is different. I want you to know that everyone can have holy boldness. Every single one of us can have holy boldness. See, there are principles and keys that come with holy boldness that is really important. And to step through into that kind of boldness, we need to have a look and see what the word has to say. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But even after we have suffered before before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Did you hear that? The boldness that they had was not in themselves. The boldness they had was in knowing that the Holy Spirit was within them, that the Holy Spirit had given them the strength to speak the truth. And as we begin to do that with our lives, we begin to see God do some amazing things, some whole different lines of things. I remember when I first went to India, and I told you about how I was converted in India. But I tell you, I was so not bold. And I remember the very first night of this big healing meeting that we had. There were 40,000 people. You know, we're Kiwis. I'd never seen 40,000 people together at that stage in my life, except maybe at a rugby match or something. But, you know, 40,000 people, it was amazing. And here we were. We were being asked as a team to actually pray for people that were sick. And you know what? I saw this lady with a huge, big black growth hanging off her neck. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going over here, because I might have to pray for her. Oh, I couldn't bear it. And so I put myself in another position. By the time the end of the night came and it was time to pray for people, guess who was right in front of me? The lady with the huge growth on her chin. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Honestly, what? God, what am I doing? I don't even know how to pray properly. I felt so inadequate. I had this little quiet voice that I know to be the Holy Spirit. That gave me the boldness and the strength and the courage to do what I had to do. And this little quiet voice said, it's not you, Cecily, pray. And I thought, all right, Lord. So I put my hand onto the good side. You know, like I can describe to you everything except for the smell. The smell of that growth was unbelievable. I put my hand on the side of this lady's face, the good side, closed my eyes and said, God, you love her, please, God. This is terrible. This is such pain for her. The smell is so amazing. I couldn't imagine having my nose so close to it. God, please, Lord, will you touch and heal this woman? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even know what to pray, Lord, but Lord, please heal her in Jesus' name. In faith, believing, I stand with this woman tonight in Jesus' name. Do you know what? When I opened my eyes and looked at her, I could not believe what I saw. That growth had gone completely. It had gone completely. And we were outside. It was quite dark. So I'd gone like this to see if I could find it on the ground. I don't know where it went, but it wasn't there. And it was unbelievable. And her face was totally healed. I thought, God, that is so amazing. And then the next person standing in front was a little girl who was blind from birth. Ooh! Can you believe that? Then I said, oh my gosh, Lord, you can do it for this lady. You can do it for this little girl, please, Lord. So I took authority over the spirit of blindness. I didn't know what it was. Had no idea. I just called it a spirit of blindness. And I commanded it to get off her. And I released the anointing. And the little girl opened. And I took my hands off. And the little girl went like this. Because she couldn't stand the light.
God healed her. And I mean, that night I saw probably 400 to 500 miracles before my eyes. I had 1,000 people to pray for. There were 40,040 of us. So it was about 1,000 each. And I want to tell you, I saw God do the most incredible things. And I thought, God, you know what? This has to be holy boldness. This has to be about you, nothing about me. Because I so didn't even think that that would happen. Except to say that I do believe that your word is true. That you said that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, that your word says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you know, after that time, I saw God do some amazing things. I saw with my eyes new fingers growing out of the stumps of hands of a person that had leprosy. It was unbelievable. I only ever saw it with my eyes once, but I'd gone back many times to different villages with our teams, and they'd come and said, sister, look. And they had new fingers. It was so amazing. And I thought, wow, Lord, you are an amazing God. You are so... And this has to be the boldness and the authority and the Holy Spirit that you've placed within me, because it's nothing of me. And Lord, I give you glory and I thank you for it, Lord. And you know, God really began to challenge me. He began to challenge me and he began to say to me, Cecily, I want you to come back to New Zealand and I want you to begin to start exercising some of those principles that you have exercised in India and teach some of those principles that you learned about healing. And the most amazing thing was, as I began to come back to New Zealand, I began to see God heal people with diseases that doctors couldn't cure, including myself. In 1986, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I think I told you about this yesterday. Is that correct? Yep. And, you know, you don't get healed from that. And you know what? It's easy being the person that is praying, but what about if you're the person that's sick and you're the preacher and the person that's sick? Yes? See, you know, God really began to show me that he wanted to heal me and to release me to another level, a dimension of faith where my muscles, my faith muscles, would grow to a place where I could start to believe God for incredible miracles. And so as that began to happen, I began to see things happen. When I was in Australia, I was in Wollongong. A baby came along to a meeting. This mother brought her baby. She's 3 months old. She was born with her eyeballs out of the sockets. And one of them had been infected and had already been removed. But they tried as much as they could to try and keep this one eye. This mother was not a Christian. She had been everywhere to all kinds of healers. She had come and she just said, I need... She saw it advertised. Healing explosion is what we had advertised. Healing explosion. And she saw it advertised and her husband was so angry with her for taking the baby to one more healing meeting. Anyhow, this baby, it was the most uncouth thing you've ever seen. And the reason why they saved the eye is because it had 30% sight. And so my Nikki that was with me, my daughter Nikki, she travelled with me everywhere I went, lots of different places. She was in Australia and we were travelling together. She looked at me and she said, Mum. And I said, I know, darling. And I said, but God wants to heal this baby. And she said, Mum. And I said, yes, God wants to heal this baby. She said, yes, God does. I said, Nick, if you can't believe with me, go and sit down, babe. She said, because I know in my heart that God's going to heal this baby. So anyhow, I prayed for the baby. The whole place was in tears. I had the baby in my arms. I was in tears, and I just prayed in faith and said, Lord, please, let your compassion, your mercy, and your healing power touch a sweet baby. You know, at the end of that prayer, nothing happened. So it seemed. I gave this lady my card. I don't always give people my cards, but this particular time, I said to her, when something happens, I want you to ring me. Not if, when. And anyway, I hadn't heard from her for a couple of days. And on the third afternoon at 2 o'clock, I got a telephone call from a hysterical mother, her name is Julie. And she said to me, Cecily, I've just been to the hospital. She said, we woke up this morning and Bubby's eye was back in its socket. And I said, wow. And she said, I know, I couldn't believe it. I took the baby to the hospital to have some, you know, to because it needed to be washed and cleaned and all of that. And she said, and not only that, she has 100% sight. Oh. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Do you know the word of God says very clearly, go ye into all the world. Your world might be different to mine. My world is probably different to yours. But your world is where God wants you to operate, in holy boldness. At your school, at your preschool, at your high school, at your workplace, at your with your grandchildren, with your grandparents, with wherever it is, whatever world God has got you, that is the world that God wants you to operate in holy boldness. And you know, I loved it last night when they said, or was it this morning, it said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K.
Yes.
And you know, that's really true, because I actually live with my head on this risk thing every day. People say, Cess, how come you see so many miracles happen? And I said, because, number one, I ask God for divine appointments every day. If I didn't ask him, then I wouldn't be looking for them. But I have an expectation that God is actually going to do that stuff. And so he gives me opportunities to release the power of God that is within me every day. Why? Because I have expectation or faith.
Amen.
And what happens is when I've asked God in the morning, I'm looking for it all day. If I wasn't looking for it, it probably would go shoot straight over my head. But because I'm looking for it and I've got my antenna up saying, is this my divine appointment? Yes, it is. Help me, God. What do I do now? What do I do? You know, because I get myself into some of these situations and I think, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Because it is really freaky at times. What am I going to do now, Lord? You're going to have to help me, man. And I think, oh, please, Lord, please show me your grace. Show me your mercy. Show these people how much you love them. You know, I have opportunities to lead people to the Lord. It's the most amazing thing. I had an opportunity to pray for somebody just the other day that had skin cancer and bone cancer, and God's totally healed her.
Yes.
Now, when I first started, and I said this yesterday, when I first started praying for people that were sick, I didn't pray for people that had cancer and growths and tumours and all those sort of things. I prayed for people that had pimples and headaches, mostly my own pimples and headaches. And so, but as I began to pray for people and began to move in boldness, my faith would grow. And I'd think, yes. And I want to give you an example of something that happened. My girlfriend, Margie, she is a very special friend to me. She was a nursing friend, and she was just a grade ahead of me, and I was one of the last of the hospital trained people, the sort of the very last before everything went over to the universities. And we used to still do, you know, we'd have first, second and third level nurses on duty, and I was second level. And Margie was third level, and she was working. She was actually in charge that evening of the ward. Yeah, it's a bit cool, huh? It has got a little bit cool. and so that's what where it was at. And so I just began to think to myself, wow, Lord, she came on duty, and she came and she said, "Sis, I'm so sick. I've got the most horrendous headache, most horrendous headache." And I said to her, "Oh, no, Margs." She said, "Yes." And she proceeded to turn around and puked all down the wall. So she was really sick. And she actually got these headaches every single month. Some of you will understand that. And she would be in such agony, and she would just be in such pain. And she actually was so ill. And I said to her, "Margs, please." I said, "Please don't leave me," because I knew that I was next in charge. And I said, "Please don't leave me. Please don't go off the ward. Please." She said, "Oh, sis, I'm so..." I said, "Look, you go get cleaned up, and I'll meet you down in the staff toilet." I said, "Because last week I had a terrible headache, and I prayed for myself, and guess what? God healed me." And she said, "Oh, okay." Then she looked at me like, "Oh, yeah, okay. I'll give it a go." And so anyhow, and I said, "God healed me, Margs." And that was a little headache, right? I had a horrible headache. But a headache is a headache, and they're horrible things. And so anyway, I went down, and after I'd cleaned up and when she'd got a new uniform on and everything, and I went down and I laid hands on her and prayed for her. Well, I'd never experienced anybody going down under the power of the Holy Spirit before in my life. I had seen on occasions, and I thought people were pushing them over. And so, you know, I had never experienced anything, and I just thought, "Oh, yeah, they're just pushing them over." And anyway, when I put my hand on her head and I prayed for her, and I felt this heat coming out of my hand, and I thought, "What's that?" And then I began to continue to pray, and I said, "Lord, please don't let Margie go off work tonight. I know this is really selfish of me, but Lord, I want her to be healed because she needs to be here. And Lord, please touch her headache and heal her, and please help her not to vomit anymore. And please, Lord, just touch her." Look, I had no idea how to pray. I was just praying. And so I just prayed for her in Jesus' name. Wow. I felt the power of God just go all over her, and she just collapsed in a heap on the floor. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, I've killed her." It was the most scary experience. I had never experienced that before. And then I went down on the floor and felt for a pulse. She had a pulse going. It was strong as. And so anyway, and then she started, you know, just saying, and I said, "Are you okay, Mom?" She said, "Yeah, that's lovely." "It's really lovely." And I thought, "Lovely? You just about, I thought you were going to die on me." But anyway, we prayed for her, and she got up. She was completely healed. She has never had, I can give you her telephone number. She has never had another one of those headaches from that day to this. She is still one of my very dear, dear friends. And I thank God. I also had the privilege of praying for her baby. Now, that's not in India or Africa somewhere. That's here in New Zealand, guys. That eye, that baby's eye, that wasn't in India or Africa. Because we always think they need it over there. We need it here. We need the power of God here. And you know, I just think, Lord, you are so amazing. And I want, Lord, for you to use us to release your power. And all we have to do is be in the presence of God. Honestly, we have to get a bit of skill. We have to learn about what the Word of God says. So if there's a healing seminar going on somewhere, go to it. Get some information. Why? Because information gives you confidence. Yes? That gives you confidence. But if you're just not coping well, you know, with what's happening in your life, just come to the presence of God. People that have got cancer, I always curse the root of the thing in the name of Jesus, and then I tell them to walk in the love of God. Because you know what? If we then walk in the love of God, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And fear is the biggest killer in this world. And so as we walk in the love of God, I have several friends that the doctors say are riddled with cancer right now. But I am walking alongside of them. Two of them are almost completely healed. One of them is really, really, really sick. But she's walking in the love of God. She's walking in the presence of God. Her husband also was very, very ill. And he had bowel cancer. And he also had cancer go into his liver. Over a period of about 6 months, God totally touched him and healed him and made him whole. Cancer in the liver. Healed him and made him whole. Do you know what? And I just said, I spent time with them and I just knew that what they did was they walked in the love and the peace of God. They walked in the love because perfect love casts out fear. And fear is the thing that causes us. And fear is the thing that will destroy the boldness of the Holy Spirit in you too. It's that fear. And so what you have to do is walk in the love and the presence of God. And I know for myself, I just thank God that I have come to know him. I've come to know his healing power for my own body. That God touched me and healed me and made me whole. I have seen miracles happen. God wants to use not just adults, but children. I'm going to tell you a wonderful story. My little niece, who when I was young, her parents weren't Christian then, but they were very gracious to me and they loved me anyway in spite of my funny ways, funny preacher ways. And they used to allow me to take their little girl with me when I was preaching. Just because they needed a babysitter. And I just loved it because I wanted those children to be under the anointing. And I wanted, and I'd say to her, Renee, you're auntie's favourite girl. And you're such a good girl. And I would get up to preach and I will have had one of those big, you know those big pads that you have on, that they have on desks, big writing, scribble pad type things. I had one of those. And what I did was I took it with me and I had felt a container of felt tip pens. And I just drew lines like that and across. And then I'd put it on the floor and I'd say, Renee, remember she was three. Renee was only three. And I'd say to her, honey, Auntie is going to get up there and she's going to be preaching in a minute. And she'd say, "Are you, Auntie? You're going to leave me?" I said, "No, no, I'm just going to be up there. You just sit down here, and what I want you to do is I want you to draw pictures of everything that Auntie talks about. Just draw pictures in those little squares. Draw pictures, honey. Draw pictures." And so she would draw pictures in about 12 in on one of these sheets. And then when she'd get home, she'd preach to her mother and father word for word out of the pictures that I had, or the story that I had told her about. I thought, my gosh, Lord, you are so amazing. And I just knew it was so beautiful. And I'd say to her, "You are such a good girl, buddy. You know, God loves you so much." And she'd say, "I know, Auntie." And she'd say things like, "Mum and Dad don't love God like we do they, Auntie?" And I just said to them, "Honey, they don't know how good he is like we do, eh?" And she said, "Yeah, that's right." Isn't it amazing how children, no wonder the Bible tells us to be like little children. "Yeah," she'd say. And I'd say, "But we do. We know how much God loves us, don't we, Bob?" And she'd say, "Yes, Auntie, I do." And I'd say, "Renee, remember, God loves you. Jesus loves you. You are so special." As she got older, she used to say to her mum, "Mum, could I grow my hair long? Oh no, get my hair cut and get a hair dryer and be a gevangelist like Auntie says." A gevangelist like Auntie says. It was so beautiful because I had short hair and all she could see was me blowing my hair dry, you know. But anyway, as she got older again, she came. I would spend a lot of time with their families when I was at home and stuff. And surface to say, their family, their whole family's saved now. So amazing. And Renee used to say to me, "Auntie, I used to tell her about the stories of healings and things, and she said, "That's so cool, Auntie, that's so cool." And I'd say, "Yeah, bub, it's so cool." And she said, "You know what, I've been wanting to tell my friends about Jesus." And I said, "Good for you." Well, she actually was the captain of the hockey team, and she, her mother used to have to pick up, because she started taking her to church. She wasn't a Christian. My sister wasn't a Christian then, but she started taking her to Sunday school. She had to pick up just about the whole of the hockey team to take to Sunday school too. It was so funny. Dinah wasn't even a Christian then. And anyway, Renee said, I want to start sharing with my friends. And I said, "Okay, bub." So I told her what to do. I told her. And she said, "Okay." I got a phone call from her one day. She said, "Auntie, this amazing thing happened." And I said, "What? What happened, Renee?" She was 10. And she said, "We had an accident at school today. My friend, you know my friend Cindy?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "She fell off the jungle..." Oh, yesterday it was. "She fell off the jungle gym, Auntie." And I said, "Oh my gosh." She said, "Yeah, she fell straight on her head." And I said, "Bub, yeah, I know, it's amazing." And she said, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, it would be terrible for her. And she said, "Yep," she said, "she fell straight on her head." And she said, and the ambulance came, they called her mother, she was out to it, Auntie, she was unconscious. And I said, "Bub, you mean she was asleep, like totally?" And she said, "Yes, they said that she was unconscious." And I said, "Oh, wow." She said, "Well, I kept saying to the teacher and to the ambulance man, do you think that I could pray for Cindy And everybody just kept pushing her out of the way, saying, you know, because she was serious, man. They wanted to get her to hospital as fast as they could. And they had her all done up. And anyhow, and then Cindy's mum came and Renee just pulled on her skirt and said, do you think I could pray for Cindy? And her mother said, hang on a minute. Renee wants to pray for Cindy. And you could hear, Renee said, Auntie, they were not happy with me. And I said, okay, bub, what did they do? She said, nothing, but I just prayed. I just closed my eyes and I just did what you told me to do, put my hands on her, and I prayed that the Holy Spirit would touch and heal, and any damage to any of those bones would be welded together, and that the Holy Spirit would touch her and heal her and make her well, and she would be perfectly well in Jesus' name. Amen. Like that, Cindy came awake. They took her to hospital for observation overnight. And she was released free in the morning with nothing wrong with her. Nothing wrong with her. You know, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, God wants to use you. And all we need is holy boldness. That's got nothing to do with us. It's got to do with God's love for people. He wants to know them. And sharing your faith. Your testimony is the most bold thing you could ever do. Most powerful tool you've ever got. I've shared my testimony with thousands of people. Thousands and thousands. And seen thousands of people saved. Thousands and thousands and thousands. And I thank God that the power of God is in the Word. No, I love that scripture that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, what is the gospel? Your testimony. The things that God has done for you and in you. I'm going to stop right now, because I believe that God wants to release his power in this place today. And I'm going to do two things. The first thing is, all of you that would like to receive a fresh touch of the anointing of God for holy boldness to really be impermeated into you, I'd like you to stand where you are. And I'd like you to raise your hands. Now, if you don't want to, it's okay. You know, this is not a have to. This is a, if you really want for this to happen, and if you're already doing it, great. But if you want for God to really just touch you in that area, then I'd just like you to stand, and I'd just like you to just put your hands out like this. This is like in a position of receiving. You know, so often we want to give to God, but we just want to receive from him right now. So Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, come. Holy Spirit of God, come. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. We worship you, Lord. We just ask right now, Father, that as we've just heard the testimony, the power of the testimony of a young child, Father, the power of the testimony of our lives is so amazing. And it is all because of your gift of life to us. But Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would just right now just minister your anointing. Let it just flow. Yeah, there it is right now. Father, release your anointing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The lady in the striped black and white shirt back there with the... Yeah, you. Yeah. I just really sense that God is wanting you to know that the things that you have done in your life are not for nothing. Sometimes you get to a place where you think, is this worth it? Has this been worth it? But I want you to know that everything that you have done in service for your Lord, in service of your family, in God's great love, God wants you to know that he sees every moment of it. And he sees every tear that you have cried for those that you have lost and loved. And God wants you to know that the intercessory prayer gift that is upon your life is going to touch many people's lives. So don't hang back. Let God begin to minister to you and continue to do that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for these beautiful ladies. Lord, I know that there are many that would just love, Father, just love prayer for healing. And Lord, you haven't really spoken anything, except there is someone with pain across the top of your breast. I don't know what that's all about, but there is someone with pain across the top of your breast. And God wants you to know that he is going to release that, and don't be fearful about it. Don't be fearful about it. Let God's love just come on you now. Come and we'll pray for you and let God minister healing. I also believe that there's someone here and you have carpal tunnel. This is what the Holy Spirit just told me just now. You have carpal tunnel. Okay. You have carpal tunnel. Is there anyone else? There is. I thought there was. Okay, if there's anyone else that has that carpal tunnel, would you all just come here? I want to pray for you now. The anointing is here for that right now. Right now. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over this carpal tunnel in Jesus' name, and I bind and I break its power. I speak to this nerve damage in Jesus' name, the ligament damage in Jesus' name. I command you to loose your hold and set my sister free. Father, release your anointing. Lord Jesus, Lord, release your anointing, Father, upon Lord, my sister's wrists. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, I take authority over this nerve damage and I bind and I break its power. I command you to loose your hold and set my sister free. Spirit of infirmity, get off her. In the name of Jesus. Father, release your anointing. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Father, in Jesus' name, release your anointing upon my sister. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just touch her, Father. That she would sense your love, Lord, in a whole new way. That she would sense your healing power ministering to her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Father, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity and the spirit of fear, and I bind and I break its power right now. I command it to loose its hold upon her. Father, release your peace to my sister's heart. Father, let her just sense your love for her today. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Sense your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shakara. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Father, we release your anointing right now. Lord, fill her afresh. Fill her afresh with a fresh anointing, Lord. Fresh anointing, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Especially this one. It's supposed to be fixed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just release your anointing. Father, we thank you for your healing power. I take authority over this nerve damage. I take authority over this ligament damage. I speak to the inflammation in Jesus' name, and I bind and I break its power. Spirit of infirmity, loose your hold on my sister's wrists. In Jesus' name. Sure, the baby. Thank you.
Amen.
Just check them out. Wow. How's it feeling now? Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you, honey. This one? This one here.
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we release the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. I take authority over this infirmity on this body. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to loose your hold and set my sister free. Get off her and don't come back again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, just release your anointing. Hallelujah. Father, let your healing power. Lord, let your healing power. Father, let the circulation flow again. In a whole new way, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just hold on to this for a minute. Sometimes we let go too quickly, you know. You know, God does amazing healings. He does amazing healings. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just about healing physical things. The gospel of Jesus Christ includes... And let's turn, I'll just read it to you for a moment. Read to you from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus speaking here. I can tell because it's written in the red in my Bible. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, what was that gospel that he preached? The good news. Yes, it was. But what was that good news? This is the good news. That he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There may be some of you here today and you're brokenhearted. There may be some of you here that have been just so disappointed about life, and everything in you just wants to blame God. I understand that. I blamed God for years. But I want you to know that God is a good God. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring restoration. He wants to restore us, to rescue us, and to make us whole. He really does. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. What is he talking about? He's talking about those of us that are in captivity, and I was like that for so many years, to the lies of the enemy. I lived in sin. I lived doing sin. I lived thinking sin. And, you know, I love that scripture that Gary read last night where he said, "The pleasures of sin for a moment." That was so true. They only last a moment and then there's emptiness. And so deliverance to the captives, those of us that are in captivity to sin. God wants to release us. That's spiritual. No, he wants to heal the brokenhearted. What's the brokenhearted? That's our soul, our mind, our wills, and our emotions. Amen? And then captivity to the devil, our spirits. He wants us to have relationship again. He wants us to know that all we have to do is receive. It's all been done for us. All we have to do is say, God, please touch me. Touch my heart, touch my life. And if there's anyone here and you've never done that to before, I really want to urge you not to go out of this room. Not to go out of this room until you do that today. Because I want you to know that this could be the beginning of something absolutely incredibly amazing in your life. When Jesus comes and he touches you, he forgives you, he heals you, he gives you a new start just like he did me. Wow. I'll never forget what that felt like. It was amazing. And also, it says recovery of sight to the blind. That's physical healing. We've just prayed for people that have had carpal tunnel, people that have pain in their breast, people that have conditions that they want healing from. And you see, and then it began to say, and set at liberty those that are oppressed, to preach the acceptable of the year of the Lord. The acceptable of year of the Lord is now. Right now. And he wants us to know that he not only wants to touch our broken hearts and our broken minds and our broken emotions, but he wants to touch our broken bodies. But he also wants us to have relationship with him.
Amen.
And so, you know, that relationship that I talked about earlier, how I just sit in the presence of God with the guitar and let the anointing in the presence of God just touch me. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And you think to yourself, and some of you that don't know the Lord will be thinking, what is that chick on about? But I want you to know that what I'm on about is I have a personal relationship. I don't just know about God. I know who he is. I know what his heart is for me. And I know what my heart is for him. And that he has done more than any other person has ever done in my life. And I want for you to know the same. So, if there's anyone here and you've never received the Lord into your life, or even if you're at a place where you're at a crossroads, where you've been, you know, like, oh man, I just want to give up on this life. Don't give up. Let Jesus come and touch you afresh. So as we just begin to continue to pray for needs, and we just continue to just release the power of God to minister to you, if there's anyone here and you would like me to pray with you, please just, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. Everybody's going to close their eyes right now, and I just want you to put up your hand. And I'd just love to pray with you later, just so that you can acknowledge who you are, just in case there's someone here. Is there anyone here? God bless you, honey. God bless you, sweetheart. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to hang around and wait. Jesus did everything for us. Jesus touched us and made us whole. And he can do it for you. I just know he wants to touch you again today. Please don't be afraid. Please make yourself known to me. Come, and I would love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord. We release these beautiful women today, Lord, to go out and walk in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the boldness, Lord, that comes from you. It's holy boldness, not from ourselves, not worldly boldness, but a holy boldness, a boldness where the disciples walked knowing their God. So, Father, we just ask that you would be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, ladies. you would like to come for prayer, please don't go without prayer. Don't feel like you're being left out. You're not. I'm going to be here. I'm very happy to just be here and pray with you and believe God with you.